probably already know that. The big idea behind Lycanomics is that you cannot build trust without being likable. In the 1980s, Japanese businessmen adopted the word doshakuka to describe the idea that communities and people could think globally but act locally. The most important global currency isn't made of paper anymore. It's made of relationships. Lycanomics is a word to describe a similar idea. It is a way of looking at the world simultaneously on a large and small scale. Whether you are launching your own business, or trying to land a job, or working to win an election, the principles are the same. As you'll see in Lycanomics, the idea of likability goes far beyond getting people to like you on a superficial level. It is not just about being nice. Instead, we will look at how people and organizations lose trust, how they can get it back, and what it really takes to be more believable. My first step in building a relationship with you is to make sure you're buying this book because you know what you'll get out of it. My second is to try and offer a non-obvious and entertaining roadmap for how to be more believable in an irrational and information-overloaded world. So let's get started. Prologue: How a lard salesman, an NFL agent, and a YouTube star explain Lycanomics. Just over 10 years ago, I was part of a pitch that I knew we would win. I was leading one of the hottest and fastest-growing digital production teams in Australia. We had built a glowing reputation in our market, won tons of creative awards, and boasted a long list of top-notch references. More importantly, our creative concept and strategy for the potential client we were about to meet was perfect, and we knew it. We had such an original approach, in fact, that we knew none of our competitors would even come close. By the pitch day, our team had rehearsed for 2 days straight, and we were supremely confident. It showed. The meeting went almost perfectly. Everyone knew their part, and the client asked the right questions. As we walked out, we allowed ourselves to enjoy a momentary feeling of triumph. We were ready to take a victory call the next day and accept the client's business. It was just a matter of time. Like clockwork, we got the call the very next day as expected. Only the outcome wasn't what we expected. We had lost. In the weeks afterward, our team went back over every step. What did we get wrong? How could we have lost? We simply couldn't understand. It was one of those rare situations where if we had the chance to go in and pitch again, we wouldn't have done anything differently. We longed to know the amazing idea that we lost against. Unfortunately, we never got a good answer. It was the first time in my career when I learned the frustrating lesson that sometimes you lose and never really get to know why. A year later, I was at an industry conference and happened to see that same client we had pitched to. I asked her how they were doing and exchanged some polite conversation. With nothing to lose, I then asked her the question really on my mind. Why didn't we win? She looked at me and told me something I have never forgotten. "You guys had great ideas, and they did too," she admitted. "Honestly, we chose them because we just liked their team better. We wanted to work with them." It didn't seem fair. It still doesn't. But now I understand. Since that time, I have had countless pieces of business won or lost over this single metric of team chemistry, but relatively few clients with the personal insight and ability to understand or admit how critical this piece was to their decision. The fact is, the significance of this goes far beyond just the world of business. People trust and choose to believe people they like. We all choose our friends and teammates for everything from work to hobbies based on likability. Relationships, not logic, power almost all of our decisions. In order to be more believable and more trusted, you need to be more likable. That is the simple idea behind this book. To see why this idea matters so much, let's begin the journey by going backward in history to 1912 and a dusty classroom in Harlem, New York, where one of the most enduring philosophies of modern business was first born. Even though no one there that